Thank God. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. I was just thinking about that verse in 1 John. I don't know if I quote it word for word, but herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Amen. I'm glad He took the initiation in our lives. Amen. I wasn't looking for Him, had no desire for Jesus, but I'm glad He saw something in me. That something the world can see, but I'm glad I was nothing, didn't know anything about God, but I'm glad He had a desire for me. Amen. Amen. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 1 this morning. Isaiah chapter 1. Just bring out a message just for a few minutes. Appreciate that message this morning. Boy, I needed that. Amen. Amen. I want to look in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to look in Isaiah chapter 6 after that. Let me read a few verses here in Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. All sinful nation of people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the heart faint." I want to stop right there, and the Lord gave me a message looking through the eyes of Isaiah. Just want to look today at the four looks of Isaiah this morning. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for our standing in you, Lord. I'm glad, God, I'm not standing before you in myself or in my own goodness or my own ability, but God, I'm standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. I'm glad when you look at us, you see Him, Lord. The one that's altogether lovely, the perfect, spotless Lamb. And God, we thank you today, God. I'm so glad I'm in Him this morning. I'm so glad, Lord. I don't have to stand. I don't have to stand before you one day in my own sinfulness, Lord. But God, I'm glad because of Jesus, because of the cross, Lord, we can say that we're saved and ready to meet you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was studying about the prophet Isaiah, I begin to look at Isaiah and how he's the prophet of God. He's looking out on a nation, and he's looking out, and he's kind of looking over the nation. He's seeing where the nation has got away from God, where the nation has become backslid, cold on God, and got so far away from God. We know that Israel was God's chosen people, and Jerusalem was the city of God, and we see how we know God did a great work. God called the nation out. These were God's people, and God did some great miracles in forming the nation of Israel. Just a mighty, powerful work, Lord, how He created the nation of Israel and all that God did. But we see that many times over and over and over again, they were getting away from God. They were backsliding. They're serving idols and going different ways in different directions, and their heart was far away from God. And we can look at Isaiah. He's looking out at the nation. He's saying he's pronouncing judgment upon the nation. He's saying, look, Israel, God raised you up. God brought you where you are. God's blessed you, and God's done all these things for you, but yet you've turned your back on God. You've turned your back on God. And we can look here that Isaiah is looking out at a nation. He's looking over this nation. He's saying, as we can look in Isaiah, as we can look in verse 4, it says, "All sinful nation." He's pronouncing the judgment. He's pronouncing judgment upon the nation of Israel. He said, "You're a sinful nation." And there's no doubt that we can make a lot of comparisons between America and the nation of Israel. How we can look at our country and we look at how God has blessed this country so many ways in times past, even the day that we live in. And I believe today we're living in the mercy of God upon our nation. There's no doubt that God is merciful. If we don't think God is merciful, just look at our country. Look at how far we've got away from God, how far we've got away from the Word of God. We've got a dollar bill that says, "In God we trust," but yet we don't trust in God. Our nation doesn't trust in God. We trust in that dollar bill. But we can look at America just as Isaiah looked at Israel and say, "Oh, sinful nation." We are a sinful nation. I believe we're the greatest country on earth. I'm so glad I'm an American. I'm so glad that God let me be born in America. Think, ask yourself, what if you were born in a different country and you never heard the gospel? You weren't in a country that was free with the ability to hear the gospel. I was 18 years old, never heard the gospel in my life, but I'm so glad that one day, because I live in America, somebody had the opportunity, somebody had the freedom to come to where I was and tell me and show me the word of God and show me what it took for me to be right with God, that I could go to heaven one day. I'm so glad I'm an American this morning. I'm so glad that we have the privilege and the opportunity that we can knock on a door, we can go out and we can spread the gospel throughout this country. There's no laws, and I know things are changing, things are getting tighter on the church, but I'm so glad I'm an American this morning. I'm so glad that I was born in this great nation that we live in. But we can look out on America just as Isaiah looked out on the nation of Israel and say, oh, sinful nation. No doubt we can look at our nation. We can look how our nation has gotten away from God, how our nation has become a nation that serves other gods, false gods. People serve other gods and other things, and we can go down the list of the sins of our nation. I believe America is a nation that's full of pride. America is a nation, and like I say, I don't mean to say that the wrong way. I am proud to be an American. I am glad and I am thankful. I thank God I'm an American this morning. But America is a nation that is full of pride. While we're America, we're America. We're the great power of the world. We can stand when nobody else can stand. We can fix things. We can do this. We can do that. And we're America after all. But without God, we're nothing. Without God, we're nothing. It reminds me of kind of when we look back in the book of Daniel, we think about the kingdom of Babylon and how it was the great power of the world, the great power of the nations, and it was that head of gold. It was that great power. But what happened to Babylon? What happened to it? It was gone in one night. It was gone in one night. The Medes and the Persians came under, and they took it over. It was gone. What makes us think that that couldn't happen to our country? It's the mercy of God tonight. It's the mercy of God this evening. Amen. Well, no doubt we can look. It's a nation of rebellion. It's a nation of unbelief. Boy, we live in a nation that doesn't believe God anymore, that doesn't believe in God anymore, that it was the God that created, that allowed us to become a nation. Amen. A nation full of unbelief. You go to a typical person on the street, they don't want to know anything about God. Amen. A nation of unbelief, a nation of witchcraft. Boy, there's witchcraft everywhere. I live in the city of Asheville. Boy, it's just everywhere in Asheville. Everywhere in Asheville, North Carolina. We call it the buckle of the Bible Belt. But if you go downtown Asheville, boy, you couldn't even say that it was even like that. It's full of witchcraft, a nation of drunkenness. And this is nothing new. We can look in the book of Isaiah and see that these are the same things that were going on in the nation of Israel. It's a nation of drunkenness, a nation of drunkenness. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, until wine inflame them. And we can look at that, and that's the way our country has become. We live in a country that's on drunkenness. I mean, everywhere you look, it's not just alcohol, but it's drugs. It's everywhere you go. It's that. And I wrote some things down. Just a few statistics. Let me find it here. There's 28% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 binge drink between about five times a month. I mean, we just a nation of drunkenness. You know, everybody's like, I can't wait to get off work so I can get me a drink. I mean, it's just everywhere you go, it's drunkenness. What is it? People are looking for peace. People are looking for something that they can look to, that they can trust in. There was a day that those were the things that I trusted in, but none of that brought me peace. None of that gave me joy. None of that gave me satisfaction. But we live in a nation of drunkenness. We live in a nation that's just twisted in their thinking. Just twisted in their thinking. Look in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They call evil good and good evil. Well, what about the day we live in where everything that's bad is good and everything that's good is bad? If you try to live for God and you try to do right and raise your family right and be faithful to church, people think you're weird. People think you're crazy. And why is it wrong to do right anymore? Amen. Woe unto them that call evil good. And we live in a twisted nation. Some of our churches have gone twisted. We think it's okay to bring rock music and things. They say this is a good thing. It's going to draw the crowd. It's going to bring everybody in. This is a good thing. If we kind of bring the world into the church, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. I wonder where that started. I wonder if it's because the church decided these evil things were good and brought it into the church. I wonder why the world thinks everything that's evil is good. Amen. We live in a nation of twisted thinking, a wretched nation, a religious nation, a rebellious nation on the brink of ruin. And Isaiah, as he's looking out over the nation, he sees as he pronounces, he said, all sinful nation. Now it's very easy for us as the church to do that. It's very easy for us as the church to kind of sit back and maybe watch the news and go out and go out on the town and see people and see how they're living and just kind of sit back and say, man, that's wicked. And we should. We should. We should tell our kids things that are wicked are wicked. We should preach against the sins of America. We should preach against sin. We should say it's sinful, it's wicked, the things that they're doing. But it's not enough for us to just say that. Is it enough for us as the church to just sit back and say, well, America's going to hell and do nothing about it? Do absolutely nothing about it. Isaiah had that look. He's looking out at the nation. And he's saying, oh, sinful nation. He's on the outside, and he's looking out at this nation and seeing the sins and looking at the condition of his nation. It's not enough for us as a church just to look out and say, man, America's wicked. And it is, but it's not enough for us to do that, is it? Isaiah had an outward look at the nation. But let me look at the second look. He had an upward look. Look in Isaiah chapter 6. Look in Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. It wasn't enough for Isaiah just to look out at a nation. He had to have an outward look. He had to see what was going on. But more importantly, he had to have an upward look. He had to get his eyes on the one who's above everything, the one who's altogether lovely, the one who's in control, the one who's all powerful, the one who's almighty, the one that controls that nations, the one that controls kings, the one that's above all things. Isaiah had an upward look. Boy, it did a great, boy, what a work it did in his heart. What a work it did in his life. And I don't know what it was about Uzziah. I believe Uzziah was a good king. But he says in the year that King Uzziah died, maybe Isaiah had his eyes on the king. Maybe he thought because King Uzziah was in leadership, there things were going to be all right. Maybe he thought he was looking at a king saying, hey boy, if this leader just stays in, things are eventually going to be all right. And we realize from these scriptures, our hope is not in a leader this morning. Our hope is not in a national leader. You know, a lot of people say, well, if we can just get this one out of the office, things are going to be all right. And I know there's certain conditions. If we get leaders in our country, that things are going to be better. I understand that. But our hope is not in a leader. Our hope is not in a national leader this morning. Our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in a certain representative or a certain person. Boy, if this person will get in office, then things will be right. Our hope is not in a physical national leader. Our hope's in a king this morning. Our hope's in our Lord, our Savior, our King. He got his eyes off a leader. He got his eyes off the leaders. He got his eyes on the one that's above all things this morning. The one that's in control. The one that created it all. The one that spoke it all into existence. The one that's all powerful and almighty. And the Almighty God this morning. He had an upward look at the great King. He got a vision of the Lord and saw him like he never saw him before. He saw the mightiness of God, the powerfulness of God. It says here that it said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He filled the temple. He was big and powerful and mighty. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly and cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Not only is he a God who's mighty and powerful, he's a God that we couldn't even look upon with our natural eyes. Couldn't even look upon. I'm so glad that one day we're going to get a body like Christ and we're going to be able to see God and look upon God. This body, there's no way we could look upon God. But I'm so glad that he fills the temple. He fills the earth. He's in control. There's nowhere you can go where God's not. There's nowhere you can be. You can be in a foreign country. You can be here, there, wherever you go. God's going to be there. Amen. Because he fills the earth. He inhabits the earth. He's a God that's almighty. He's a God that's all powerful. He's a God that's bigger and greater than ever imagined. My pastor says it a lot of times, and I want to say it. He says the problem with a lot of people is their God's too small. God's too small. Boy, if God can just speak something and it happen, boy, what can God do? There's no telling. God can do great things. He's three times holy. He's pure and he's spotless. Isaiah got his eyes off the nation. He had an outward look at the nation. He got his eyes off the leaders, and he got his eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A one who could say something. It says here that, and the posts of the door removed at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. When they cried, things began to move. Things began to shake. I'm glad when God begins to speak and things begin to move and God begins to do things and God changes things. Amen? Yes, he got an outward look at the nation, but he got an upward look at the King, the one who could change things, the one who could send revival, the one that could do great, mighty things and work on the nation of Israel. I'm glad America's got its problems, it's got its faults, but I'm glad I serve a King. I'm glad I serve a God who's able to change things, who's able to send revival, who's able to revive his people and stir our hearts again and give us a burden for our country. And without America, there won't be anything. There won't be any missionaries going to other countries. There won't be this or that if we don't get a burden for America again.
Amen.
Amen. But we serve a God who's mighty and powerful and able to do great things. He had an outward look. He had an upward look. And because he had an upward look, boy, he had to have an inward look. He had to have an inward look. We look in verse 5. The Bible says he saw God. He saw his holiness. He recognized his mightiness and who he was. And he said, and he looked at himself and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Instead of having an outward look and looking at the nation and seeing how sinful the nation was, he suddenly began to look at himself. He said he looked at himself in the mirror. He said, "Yes, this country's wicked, this country's nation. What kind of condition am I in?" Amen. And I believe the church, it's not enough for the church to have an outward look at our nation. It's not enough but when we get that upward look and begin to look to Him again, it'll cause us to look at ourselves and say, as the church, and say, where have we come short? Where have we fallen? Where have we got away from God? What have we done in our lives that's caused us to get away from God? And what can I do to get back to God that I could have an effect on my nation? It wasn't enough for him to have an outward look. But when he had that inward look and realized where he was with God, instead of saying, "Oh, sinful nation," he was saying, "Oh, sinful me. Oh, sinful me." Look on the inside. Let's look at the church this morning and say, where have we as the church? I believe with all my heart this morning that the condition of our country, and you may disagree with me, the condition of our nation is a direct result of the condition of the church in the day that we live in. If we look in the book of Revelation, we study the condition of the Laodicean church. I believe we can look at that. We can look at the Laodicean church and we can say the condition of our country physically is the condition of the church spiritually. The nation is a mirror image of the condition of the church in America. But we need to have an inward look at ourselves, not only personally, but at the church, us as the church of the living God, that we may have an effect, because he had an inward look at himself and saw and was honest with God. Say, God, woe is me, for I am undone. No doubt all of us, we can look at our own selves and say, woe is me. There's some places in our lives that we've got to improve on. There's some places in our hearts we got to get right. We got to get closer to God, that we can have an impact on this country in the last day that we live in. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. You know, we make confession so difficult. We make confession so difficult. He's just being honest with God. He said, woe is me, God, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I live in a nation of unclean lips. And because of that, he just confessed it, and God touched him. There's times in my life where God's dealing me about something, and I try to push it off, and I'd say, well, that's not it. That's not it. But you know, when I just come clean before God and say, God, yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, you know, God, really, yeah, yep, that is my problem. That's when God begins to help me. That's when God begins to come down and do something and work in my heart. But we got to have that confession. We got to be honest with God. Just as Isaiah, he was honest with God. He said, woe is me, God. I'm a man of unclean lips. And because of that inward look, he got an onward look. He got an onward look. Because of that inward look, he got an onward look at the field. If we see this, we see the cleansing. We see the cleansing, then we see the commission. In verse 6, the Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And we're not cleansed by coals and fires, but we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. Amen. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Now I know that all of us as missionaries, we've heard that voice. We've heard that voice. Who am I going to send? You got a burden for Ghana or for Ireland. God came to you one day and said, who am I going to send? Well, I'm glad I heard that voice. I'm glad I heard that voice. There's some times in my life God did me about things in my life, and I got it took care of, and then I could hear that voice and say, who am I going to send to Washington, D.C.? And you hear that voice, who am I going to send to Ireland? Who am I going to send to these places? Boy, you remember those times, or maybe you still have them. I remember standing in the choir, God dealing me about Washington, D.C., just God breaking my heart, just weeping, people looking around, what's the matter with him? I'm just saying, oh, God, send me, I want to go. You remember times like that? Well, I'm glad for that. But that call's still going out. Call's still going out. He got an onward look at the mission field. He went from all sinful nation. How do we look at America this morning? Do we have a Pharisaical look at America? Just as the Pharisee and the publican, they were in the temple saying, do we look at America and say, boy, I thank God I'm not like that person. I thank God I'm not like that guy out on the street. I thank God I'm not like that liberal in Washington. How do we look at our leaders? And I know our leaders, they're on the TV all the time. They do some crazy things, some just ridiculous things. And how do we look at them, though? Do we look at them as just, man, that's crazy. What's wrong with them? Or do we look at them as somebody in need of a Savior, just like we were? Amen. Yes, they're in a place of importance, a place of authority and things like that. The answer to them is the same answer for us. And that's Jesus. Amen. How do we look? Do we look at our nation in a fair say, boy, I thank God I'm not part of this, or I'm not part of that, or this or that? Are we like that public and say, oh God, have mercy on our country. Have mercy on that person there. Have mercy on it. Oh God, save him. What's our heart like toward our nation? Amen. Are we hearing the call? Are we hearing the call? There may be one here, God's dealing with it. Maybe God's broke your heart over something, and he's asking you this question. He said, who am I going to send? Who am I going to send? You might be crying here, oh God, send me. Well, I'm glad God has a place for every man. Amen. Every person, every family. Amen. How shall a man preach? How shall a man preach except he be sent? Amen. Well, I thank God. I thank God we gotta go from just looking around saying, man, that's wicked. And you know, that's right, that's true. Saying, oh God, what can I do about it? Oh God, send me. We need to get from that outward look to the onward look. It's time to get our vision back. It's time to win to win America back, one sinner at a time. It's time for the church to get on fire again and reach sinners for God's glory. The condition of America, I already said this, I believe is the result of the condition of the church in America. You know, and I'll be done here in a minute. We went up to D.C. One time and got to go into the archives and look at the... One of the things I wanted to do was look at the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all those things. And so it surprised me. It surprised me when I looked at the Declaration of Independence. You can see the outlines of the work. You can see the outlines of the writing. There's like only three or four words that you can actually read. And it amazed me because I've seen things on, you know, TV or whatever, seen pictures of the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and it amazed me. And they said, you know, if we don't figure out a way to preserve this thing, we're just going to have to put it away. We're just going to have to put it away in a dark place somewhere so we can preserve it. Now, I thought about that. Just as that ink is fading on that document, you know why I think that America has lost its respect for our founding documents. We've lost respect for our founding documents. Amen. But what amazed me is I can only read just a couple of words. He said, "If we don't figure out a new way to preserve this, we're just going to have to put it away somewhere." I thought about that's the way America's heading. That says that document's fading, that founding document's fading, our nation's fading from righteousness, fading away from righteousness. Amen. But I'm glad God left us here, amen, for a purpose. Amen. It's not enough just to look out and say, we've got to have that outward look. We've got to have that inward look, or that upward look, inward look, and that onward look. Say, God, what can I do for my country? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, Sister King, I'd like for you to sing some Golden Daybreak for us. If you don't care, it's kind of been on my heart. And this will be an invitation verse. If you need to respond to the preaching of the Word of God, why don't you do so this morning? God's been dealing with your heart. Would you just be obedient? That's all I ask anybody to do. Just obey the Spirit of God. If you'll do that, you can leave here. It'd be worth your time coming this morning if you'll do that. Come in church, we're bound down, we're all tied up, scared to death. Things are going to get out of control. Scared to death. Well, they'll go too far. Hey, let me tell you something. It'll work out all right. We bring it back in line if we get sideways. Don't worry a thing in the world about that. Let's worship the Lord this morning. If he's dealt with you, we've heard two good messages this morning. Now, would you, if the Lord spoke to your heart, would you be man and woman enough to be obedient to the Spirit of God? Give you a song here to just do what you need to do. Sister King, when you're ready, you go ahead and sing.